Start your day the Torah way, Rabbi Jacobson, Zion, Tamils, Toshinointos.
Morning, Rabbi Zai. I want to begin with a very short vort on the Parsha, which you'll see leads into a much bigger subject, but just to tie it with the Parsha, I thought was worthwhile. It says, in this Parsha, V'nasalta Oisei Elazar HaKoyin, the giving of the Paraduma, the burning supervision, was given over to Elazar and not to Aaron HaKoyin, and he was next in line, he was the next in charge. And Rashi explains, because says Rashi, Mitzvoisa B'Sagan, the second in charge, had this job. But the Or HaChaim says, don't misunderstand. It's not that it was always a job for the Sagan to be, for all the future Paradumas, whose job was it? He says, this particular one was from Elazar, but Shar Paras Nasis Bein B'Koin Gadol Bein B'Koin Hedyat. As it says, Oysa Elazar. This particular one was Elazar. The rest could be by either one. And the Ramban explains that really Rashi agrees to this. He says that Ein Kavana, talking about Rashi, in Kavana Loimar, Shechiv, the mitzvah is always on the Sagan. This particular Paraduma was to be done by Elazar and not by Aaron. So you could ask a simple question, why was Aaron, it sounds like, intentionally excluded from this opportunity? Usually we machabed the biggest, the Kohen Gadol with many things, but punkt here, we leave him out. Two basic mahalchim. The one is that he had so much kedusha, was in such a madrega, there was a certain yurida just to go out of the azorah, even if it was for a great mitzvah, for the tzorach of Klal Yisrael, but he should stay lifnai efnim, he should stay inside the azorah at least, he shouldn't go out. The second shot the Kli Yochar offers, he says Aaron had a certain, if you could call it this, I don't want to say it literally, but he had a certain chesoron that he was, the lashon of the Kli Yochar is siba Ella Egel. He had some, let's say, connection to the Cheta Egel. Therefore, so why was that so bad? So this Paraduma was to get rid of Misa, Tumas Misa. And what brought Tumas Misa back into the world? Cheta Egel. So I suppose we wanted to have a totally clean slate, that no Shaychas to the Cheta Egel, and this Paraduma should skip over Aaron and go to his son Elazar. So that's the little vort, but Agav, we see the different roles, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot, and today's shir is going to speak not only about, sorry?
When they shifted the next ones, it was outside Yerushalayim, and the Kohen Gadol wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
So the Kohen Gadol couldn't shift the other ones either?
Well, the Kli Yochar, I'm sorry, this brought here from a Mishnah in Para, that it seems like all the future, Perek Dalet, I think it is, all the future ones could have the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Hedyot. It was Punkt Aaron who had this Heilige Madrega. Yeah? I hear. Okay, I hear what you're saying. So I'm not sure how to miyashiv that with the Mishnah, but I hear what you're saying. That the point, just to get out of this, is Chalukim in the roles, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot, and today's Shir is a bit surprising. It's not only about a Kohen Hedyot. I'm going to speak about the daughter of a Kohen Hedyot. So how are you going to have a whole shiur about the daughter of the Kohen Hedyot? So you have to wait and see. We were learning Chulin, Kuf Lamed Aleph to about Kuf Lamed Gimel. Is a whole sugya there talking about Matnas Kahuna, and which I found very fascinating. And at the time I learned it, I had no idea how nogeya it would be to me personally, because Baruch Hashem, Chazdei Hashem, we made a shidduch recently. Our daughter, we got engaged to a very chashev bacha from a chashev local family, and you'll see that this amazing chesed the Rabbeinu Shalom did for us is very nogeya to the today's shir, and I hope the shir will be a schus for them and for all the other young people looking for their zivug. Now, just to explain a bit more, by way of introduction, I am a Kohen, and not very surprisingly, you can imagine what that makes my daughter, makes her a Bas Kohen, and based on the sugyan chulin, we're going to see, what is the status of a Bas Kohen when she marries a Yisrael? So, a couple of the questions. What does this change her identity? This marriage, we know you adopt the minhagim of your husband. That's one thing, but I'm not asking about minhagim, we'll see. What does her identity become? Is she a Yisrael? Let's say, for example, her children. Her children will be Yisraelim. Is she also begetter a Yisrael now? Or is there something to suggest that she keeps her identity, her intrinsic identity as a Kehenis? And if it does that make any nafkaminas in halacha, or any restrictions on her, any benefits that she gets? What happens when this marriage takes place? I'm not going to speak about my daughter. This is a klolistic question, and you can imagine it's happened thousands, not more than that, of times. Now, it's all going to come up. I'm not just speaking about minhagim. Someone told me an interesting minhag, that in their community, I think it's a Sephardi community, they have on Motzi Yom Kippur what's called the Sudas Kohen Gadol. That means, we read in the Maksor that the Kohen Gadol who survived, the Voida Lifnayev Lifnim, his life was saved by virtue of his being worthy to live through that and bring Kippur to Klal Yisrael. So if he lived, they made a special Suda. So in this Kehila, they have such a Suda. There's no Kohen Gadol, but in order to remember the events, and I suppose to remember that we all got a Kippur, they make the Suda called Sudas Kohen Gadol. So in this Kehila, there is a Bas Kohen who's married to Yisrael, and in order to have Shaychus to her heritage, her family's heritage anyway, she sponsors this Kiddush or the Suda, and it's a great thing, it's a wonderful thing. And is that because she's a Bas Kohen? I would say not. Really, anybody could sponsor the Kiddush. So I'm not talking about minhagim, where you might find an inclination for somebody who's a Bas Kohen to do something to remember her identity. We're talking about halachas. So let's start with Shulchan Aruch, and we'll find rise one way and the other. So beginning with Pidyon HaBen, this is something we're all familiar with, that if you have the mother of a child is a Bas Kohen, so her child does not need Pidyon HaBen. So at first glance, we would say, you see, she remains with the name of a Bas Kohen after she's married, after she has children, she's still affecting the identity of her children because of who she is. Now, in fact, if you think about this, this is not such a good proof. One reason is, it's the same by a Bas Levi, so maybe it's not so specific to being a Bas Kohen. That's true. Let's just quote the Shulchan Aruch. It's in Shin Hei, in Yoredeya, Yud Ches. So if you address, it says, first of all, the men, the Kahanim and Leviim, Peturin, Mepidyon HaBen, they don't need Pidyon HaBen. Vafila Kahanis Veleviya Nesu El Yisrael, and even if you have a Kahanis or a Leviya who's married to Yisrael, Ein HaBen Chayav BePidyon. The child doesn't need Pidyon HaBen. So now, why is that? So Shulchan Aruch gives us a reason. Shein HaDavar Talei B'Av, Ela B'Eim, Shenemar, Petur Rechem B'Yisrael. So, seemingly, is this a proof or is this not a proof? So it seems like it's not a proof. Why? Because the reason the child is potter is because she's not Yisrael. Right? We're saying, who is Chayiv? Petur Rechem B'Yisrael. She's not that. So that's not because you're Kehenis. There could be other categories as well that aren't Yisrael that don't need. So as a Bas Levi is. So Im Kain, that doesn't seem to have much to do with who she is, but rather who she isn't. And in fact, the same Sif says an interesting thing about how her identity is less kavua in her than that of a Bas Levi. Because it continues, and it says, a very unfortunate case, Im nis abrum oivik kechavim, I'm adding chas v'sholom, if she has a child from a goy, so then a ben alviya potem epidion, then the ben alviya, so she, her son doesn't need, but listen to this, the ben kohenis chayiv bepidyon. So you have this two women, Bas Levi, Bas Kohen, one's chayiv, and the other is potter. What's the difference? Why should the Bas Kohen be her son be chayiv? Sherei nischala la'imoy min a kahuna babila sa'ovit kachavim. She loses her kahuna because of this beila. So we see from that her status is not so changed. If you say she can lose it all, she doesn't seem to be guaranteed a place as a Bas Kohen. And if you think about it, this is a very surprising halacha, because you could say, you're not a Kohen or whatever, a Bas Kohen anymore, but what should she be? What is her Shevet? His Shevet is still Levi, right? That's her father's Shevet. And Afal Pikein, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, she doesn't even keep that. Her child needs Pidyon HaBen. She's back in with the Yisrael. Whereas the Bas Levi has a certain a buffer, in that she can't drop any lower. She won't go higher, but she won't drop any lower, and her yichus remains intact. So what exactly is our bas kohen? Is she guaranteed to be a kehenis or not? So let's go elsewhere in the Shulchan Aruch to find another interesting halacha. This is in Eben Ezra, in Simon Beis Ches. So it says there, and I don't know how many people know this, but it's worth having in mind, it says the bas kohen has restrictions on her shidduchim. We're not talking about like a kohen that he can't marry a gerusha. That's in Isser Gomor. This is something else. A bas kohen is restricted in who is advised as a shidduch. I'm using the word advised because you'll see it's not to say that it didn't work. She did marry him, and we're not going to encourage a get, but it's not advised. Here, this is Shulchan Aruch says, Am ha'aretz lo yisa kehenes. An Am ha'aretz should not marry a kohen. So why not? The shidduch won't go very well. Well, okay, we've all heard about not the perfect shidduch, but this is quite serious. He will die, or she will die, or quickly. What does quickly mean? I suppose it means prematurely. Or takala tavoy b'neihem, or some obstacle will come between them. So all of this is a recipe for a disastrous marriage, it sounds like. Aval, so who should she marry? So Shulchan Aruch continues and says, Aval Talmud Chochem, Shinoitze Kehenes, a Talmud Chochem, it's good, it's fine. Hare ze noy meshubach. This is beautiful, this is a wonderful shidduch. Why? So Shulchan Aruch gives a reason. Torah v'kuhuna b'mokim echad. You've got Torah and kuhuna in one place. So this is the way forward. Now this would seemingly put some serious restrictions on Shadchanim, if they've got a family of Kahanim, the daughter, they want a shidduch for her. So what are they going to do? The Shadchan is going to send a feher to the potential Bacharim. Let's see how much you know. Say, do you know 100 daf? Do you know 200 daf? What do you know? How many simanim Shulchan Aruch do you know? If not, I'm sorry, the shidduch isn't for you. How does it work, practically speaking? So the Shaila was put before Rav Yashiv. I'm sure it was put before many Gedolim, but I saw it in print. Being asked to Rav Yashiv repeatedly from a certain shoyl, what's the getter of this Talmud Chacham who a bas kohen is allowed to marry nowadays? So, reasonably speaking, he was quite generous in that he said, if the chosen is a bocher learning in yeshiva, that is enough. You don't have to wait for him to be, I don't know what, the best boy in the yeshiva. You don't have to wait for somebody who you can feher on hundreds of daf of gemoras. A boy, a bocher learning in yeshiva, that is good enough in this generation to say that there's nothing to be worried about with the shidduch. It's a perfectly fine shidduch. And on the contrary, he says, the bocher shouldn't even be scared, because you could say, okay, you can marry her. You go ahead. But he's trembling. He's thinking, I read the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not planning on leaving the world too soon, and I wouldn't like my wife to leave the world too soon. I'll look elsewhere. So Rabbi Yashiv said, no, adarabba. It's a schus for him, and it's an opportunity for him to grab. He should not have no fear of the shidduch. So going back to my question, which was, what about the bas kohen's identity? So from this is a post-marriage issue. We're saying after she marries this Yisroel, if he is Am Haaretz, so somebody around here needs a life insurance policy. So why is that? It seems that her identity as a bas kohen has continued even after she married Yisroel. So we're getting a bit of a mixed message. Is she a bas kohen le'olam ve'ed, or is she up until marriage or something else? What triggers the end of her days or her identity as a bas kohen? And that is the issue that I want to try to resolve. Now, these kinds of questions in my house are not just theoretical, because I'm a kohen, as I mentioned. So at the Shabbos table, we often have discussions about Isurim that are shayak to Kahanim, and some of the benefits. And my daughters were there. They don't mind so much hearing about the Isurim for the boys. Like, we talk about, don't go to this train station, one of the local train stations, they have kvarim somehow built into the walls of it. Anybody's interested, we can talk about it later. Or we all know about flights. They used to fly into Tel Aviv, and there was one runway, and you couldn't go on certain airlines, and you couldn't go at certain times of day, and you had to check before you So you can have young Bas Cohens, Benoist Cohen, sitting there listening. What doesn't trouble them? They go when they want. Trains are available. And if you say to them, and your brothers can't marry certain people, we don't mean you can't marry them, it's not advisable. We mean it's usher to marry certain women. So, okay, so anyway, the girls hopefully want to marry somebody who fit our description before, so it doesn't trouble them. But once you start listing the benefits, and you start saying, and you know, that Kahanim get this, that, and the other, let's just start with the first Aliyah. So the girls don't want the Aliyah, but they realize this is a covered. So they feel a bit left out. And then they're well aware from all the parshas in Torah that the Kahanim are getting truma. Okay, they don't feel left out of that because they can have truma. And there's certain types of kodshim that the wives of Kahanim, the daughters of Kahanim get. But they also know that once they get married, they're out. Regarding these things with truma and kodshim, that's it. The membership is over. You don't get any more. So they might feel a bit deprived. So today we're going to try to see if we can find some way to give them a menuchas nefesh, a compensation for their loss when they get married to Yisrael. What are they still going to get? So we'll start with some red herrings. The Gemara in Ksuvas and Daf Tes says that there is a special privilege that the girls will get that the boys will never get. What is that? An extra large ksuva. A bas kohen, the Gemara says in Ksuvas, a bas kohen gets an extra large ksuva. Okay, brothers won't get it, but do the girls want this? Well, there are two problems. One, as far as I know, this does not have any halachic application nowadays. So it's theory. But number two, I don't think most women are excited by the idea of getting an extra large ksuva because that is predicated on one of two very unfortunate events happening. Either, Rachman Litzlan, their husband has died, or the husband has divorced them. So if you tell them there's a big ksuva waiting, they'll say, keep the ksuva, I'd rather keep my husband. Another place where I think we've all heard that a bas kohen gets special treatment, in inverted commas, is for niuf. Well, what's her special treatment? Shreifa. So, you could, this is going to get the daughters pleased with their life role as a bas kohen. You tell them, I know this, it's not stam that we give them this chashon, they get this punishment, but you can tell them, you're the daughter of a kohen, the exalted status that you have, of course, someone in such a high position, we have to have different punishments. Well, okay, that's a nice drasha, but lemaisa, how much can a person get excited about the privilege that they have of being burned to death? I don't think you're going to win over many customers with that. So is there anything else we can tell them? So I stumbled across a footnote, somebody directed me there, in the new Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Samuch Tes, in which it's talking about Negoim, viewing Negoim. So it's possible. This I'll read you where the footnote sends you. It's footnote number 12, if you want to look it up. It sends you to a certain Medrash Tanchuma, which seemingly is giving Kohenis a new career opportunity. Something that other people can't do. So maybe they'll like that. The Medrash Tanchuma says, and we'll discuss, is this really a proof for our case, but the Medrash says, Maisa b'koyin echad. There was a koyin echad that he was in the town, in Shahaya Royas Negoim. He used to look at people's Negoim. And he had a financial downturn. So Bikesh, let's say, Sechutz V'aretz, he was going to travel overseas. He called his wife in and said to her, lots of people come to see me, to see their Negoim. And it's difficult for me to leave them. Which is an interesting comment. Why didn't he say it's difficult? I'm going to Chutzlah. It's difficult for me to leave you. He's leaving his family behind. But for this Kohen, it was difficult for he says, to leave them. So he said to her, come, I will teach you, my wife, how to view Negoim. So here we got a new career opportunity. The first Bas Kohen, part of the Negoim viewing society, and he tells her, how will you be able to tell what's Tameh, what's Tahor? So in a nutshell, he says, every hair has a Mayan. You look at the Mayan, you take a look at the hairs, the base of the follicle there, you look and you see, if that's dried out, then you know that this Tsaras is what is affecting the hair. So If the mayan dries out, the hair dies, and the person, you can tell them they have tsaras. So she was a clever woman, and she listened to the halachas, and she applied them to her own life. And she said to him, Amr la ishtai, mayim kol sar v'sar, if every hair that Hashem created them with a mayan bifnei atzma has its own mayan to give it sustenance, so ata, you, my husband, shata ben adam, aren't you more important than a hair? You have lots of hairs. And she compared it, I think this is meant to be a comparison, you have many children who receive their nourishment from you. Isn't it obvious? Lo kol shekein, shiyazmin cho kodesh baruch hu parnasa. If each hair has a mind to provide it with its source for life, you're not going to get a source from Rabbeinu Shlomo. You have to schlep around. So she put her foot down. Lefikach loy haisa loy hanicha oisa letzeis to chutz la'aretz. She said, I'm not letting you go to chutz la'aretz. So that is supposed to be a proof that a kahanis is allowed to view Nagoyim. I think there's some pretty obvious questions on this. One is, even if you say a kahanis is allowed to, but that doesn't tell us if she marries Yisrael. This woman was married to a Kohen, as we see. So that doesn't help us in our Shaila, because we're asking about a Bas Kohen. Could she continue? If you say it's because you have a Shem Kohenis, then maybe. But more than that, one of the Mefarshim there says, this doesn't really prove anything, because, and I'm not sure why the Sefer that I saw didn't quote this Kasha, says, he said to her, I will explain to you how to view Nagoyim. He didn't say to you, you should go and do it. Well, what's the point of explaining to her? Because there's a halacha that if there's a Kohen in town who doesn't know how to view Nagoyim, you're allowed to teach him. If you're Yisrael, you can teach him how to do it. You don't do it yourself, but you say to the Kohen, look for this, look for this. And then he says, Tahor Tameh. So it could be as simple as he was explained to her, I know the expertise, I'm telling you what to say. There's an Amoritz in town who's a Kohen. Get together a business partnership with him to view Nagoyim. You'll explain to him what he needs to look for. But we don't see from this at all, I didn't think, that a Kohenis is allowed to view. So that's not going to be her career. And even if it would be her career, let's consider this for a minute. How much are you going to win over a Bas Kohen to the good life that she has and tell it, you can look at diseased skin for the next however long. You will be sought after at looking at people's... Maybe there's some people with a medical inclination, but I think most girls are not going to be too impressed with that offer. So I was grasping at straws, trying to think of what can we tell to the B'nais Kahanim of the world, and then, Baruch Hashem, I came across a very enlightening sugi in Chulin, beginning on Kuf Lamed Aleph, which I thought have sorted out all of their concerns, and they would be happy and no complaints. So we're talking in this section, the Gemara, about Matnas Kahuna. And there's one simple line in the Gemara which I found revolutionary. I'd never heard it, I'd never thought about it, and I certainly wouldn't have thought it's halacha, but we'll see otherwise. One line, it says, Ula havi yohiv matanis le kahenis. He would give his Matnas Kahuna to a kahenis. Now, we don't know that he lived in a town without Kahanim, and even if he did live in a town without Kahanim, what's he doing at giving it to Kahanis? Where does she fit into all of this? You're supposed to give Matnas Kahuna to Kahanim, as the name suggests. So you could say, well, that doesn't prove anything. Number one, maybe it was the wife of the Kohen. The Kohen wasn't home, so he would knock on the door and give his wife the Matnas Kahuna. Nothing to say she couldn't receive them. Why can't a wife of a Kohen receive them? Or you could say, this is a das yechidah. So maybe Ula had some reason why he felt that this was a maila, we don't know. But if you go on in the Gemara into Kuf Lamed Beis, it's clear that this is not at all the case. This was not just the two kashas that I asked. Because, Debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Tana, he says to Drasha, Kohen, the Pasuk says Kohen, v'filu kohenis. He understands the word Kohen includes a kohenis. Havim miut achar miut. They in miut achamiut ella l'rabbi. So the drasha, the way the Gemara explains is, even if you see the pasuk says kohen, you think, well, that means male. Yeah, but it's written twice. The miut achamiut means kahanis. She says, well, now, okay, so it's a drasha, but still, who says this is the halacha? So now listen to this. Rav Kahana ochil b'shvil ishtoi. Rav Kahana would eat matnas kahuna because of his wife. So okay, you could say he was a kohen, wasn't he? Rav Kahana sounds like a kohen. Tosfos on the place says there were two Rav Kahanas. This Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. And also it says he would eat because of his wife. Why doesn't he eat because of himself? The answer is, he was Yisrael, and he was eating in the merit of his wife, not in his own merit, because he had no merit. He wasn't a Kohen, and he wasn't alone. Rav Papa achol bishvil ishtoi. Rav Papa, who was also not a Kohen, ate because of his wife. Rav Yemar achol bishvil ishtoi. Not enough a list, we'll keep going. Rav Idibar avin achol bishvil ishtoi. All of these gedolei olam were eating because of their wives who were Kohanim. We also see that they maybe made a point, maybe didn't make a point, to marry, like the Shulchan Aruch says, tried to marry a Bas Kohen. But be that as it may, we see that they were eating, halacha lemaisa, they were eating matnas kahuna because of their wives. And then the Gemara concludes that this is not just individuals who did this. Amar Ravina, Amar Li, Mireimar, halacha kavase de ula. The halacha is like ula. It's not just one opinion. The halacha is paskin, that this is correct. You can give your matnas kahuna to a kahanis. We're going to see there are more chidushim than just this, but I'll just quote you the Orach HaShulchan, who writes this lehalacha. He says, Amru Chazal, Matanus Elu Nosnim Afila Kehenes, and Yotzi Yedei Chivasa. You fulfilled your obligation completely. For this reason, it's Pasuk says, V'nosan Lekoin, Afilu Kehenes Mashma. It says Koin, but that means also Kehenes. Afilu He, it says Refirish, Afilu He, Eishas Yisrael. You can give it to Kehenes, even if she's married to Yisrael. Why? Now this is, we'll come back to, Kivin de Kedusha Leisbahu. We're not saying you can give them things that you can give to a full-blown Kohen like Chelek of the Kodshim, but the things that we're talking about in this Matnas Kahuna, the section here in Chulin, is the things that don't have an intrinsic Kedusha. Chas Shalom, a person shouldn't come away thinking that a Kehenes is allowed to walk into the base of Migdash and start eating from the Kodshim. She's not allowed to do that at all. Or Truma, she's not allowed to eat the Truma when she marries Yisrael. That's Mefurish. But the other Matanis, and we'll see there are quite a few of them, that don't have Kedusha, you can give to her. He says, since they don't have Kedusha, they ain't assumed Lazarim. Lazar is allowed to eat these things. Hooray, he materis behem. And he adds, V'lo dami the Truma. There, by Truma, it says B'nei Aaron. And here it just says, it means B'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron. Here it doesn't say that. It says Kohen. Kohen could include, it does include a Kehenes. So we have seen now a very big opening for Bas Kohen when she marries Yisrael, that they are going to have a huge benefit for him and for her. Because we're saying not only does the wife benefit from this, but her husband does as well. Now, is this so simple? Now, I know that Sibor here is probably not mainly Kahanim, and my goal is not to stand up here and to breed jealousy, so I'll just mention these matanos that we give to Kahanim are a win-win. The giver wins as well. So if you go back to Parshas Naso and you see Rashi there, Rashi says on the pasuk, "V'ish es kadoshav lo yeh, ish asher yitin lakoyin lo yeh." So let's go good news, bad news. The good news, Rashi says, when it says that lo yeh on the drasha of ish es kadoshav lo yeh, he says, Magid shetovus anosh lebailo. You might have thought the Kohen can come and grab it away from you. So the first good news is, no, you're the Bala boss. You can choose who to give to. I mean, you're Bala, you can't sell these, but the tovus, choose the Kohen you like, or the Kehenes you like. We'll have to be careful about who you give to as a Kehenes, but you give it to the husband of the Kehenes, it's your choice. Now there's a bit of bad news. If you don't give, Rashi says, the next Rashi there, it says in Pasuk Ches, he says, if you don't give and you keep the meiser for yourself, what's the result? You will end up getting the chelik that you should have given. How would you get it? Because your field, which used to produce 100 units, will dwindle down to 10, and you'll end up getting the portion that you should have given. Not such good news, but I'll tell you, this is unbelievable. The kipshuto, what Rashi says, lo yeh, at the end, going on the end of the pasuk, what is it? Whose will it be? These mitanas, who will they be for? Listen to these words. I don't know how you can learn them otherwise. Mamon harbe. Simple pshat. You'll get rich. I mean, if somebody wants to win whatever, the big lotto, well, this is Rashi's telling you. This is the pshat. If you give to... Sorry? Yeah. give the Matnas Kahuna in this case. Rashi's Pshat is just straightforward. Mama in Harbe, you'll get a lot of cash. Anybody not want a lot of cash? Well, if you don't want a lot of cash, here's an Eitz Tova from Rashi. This is what will happen. And one last piece of good news, bad news, good news. Here's the last bit of bad news. Then Rashi says on the next Pasuk, what is this Parsha followed by? It's followed by Parsha Soita. So Rashi says there, and if you decide still, you haven't been convinced by my Rashi's until now, he says, if you don't give, what will happen next? You're going to need the coin anyway. Why? Because imatamachem matonas a coin. If you decide you're not going to give, chayecho, shetitztarech levoy etzloy lahevi loy es hasoita. So I think it's a pretty convincing case for giving matnas kuna, and it's a win-win. Even if you say, well, I don't want the punishments, but just remember that Rashi, very straightforward, mamun harbe. Okay, so we said now the basic halacha, now I'm going to tell you some chidushim on top of the chidushim. We said you should give, you can give, so far we said you can give to a ashes, the husband of a bas kohen, but is there anything, is there an advantage? Okay, I've got nobody else to give to, so I'll give to her or her husband. Is that it? No. If you look in the Piskei Tshuva in Yoredeya, he quotes the Yam Shel Shlomo, who says a whopping chiddush. He says like this, it is better if you have a choice in your town. You have a kohen who's an Amaretz and a bas kohen who's married to a Talmud Chacham, who should you give to? He says, lahalacha, you should give to her and her husband. Says the Piskei Tshuva, the Yam Shel Shlomo, defila yika kohen gomor. He's a complete kohen. He's got yichus back to the bias rishon. Yochel litim lekanis, you can give, and there he hasn't said any how good his status is or bad. He just says you can give to her, your choice. He's a kohen gadol and she is a bas kohen. V'im yesh kohen amaretz, v'hi eishes chaver toiv litim leishes chaver. Better to give to her and her husband than to give to a card-carrying member of the Hanum society, but he is an amaretz. And then he says, okay, let's take it up a step. Let's say she's married to a Talmud Chacham, but let's say there's another Kohen in town who's also a Talmud Chacham. So now we'd say, come on, he's got all the milas. He doesn't say that. V'im yesh Kohen chaver, shekulim heim. They're equal. She, with her husband, who's a Talmud Chacham, are the exact same thing as a Kohen who is a Talmud Chacham. It's your choice. You're not doing a mitzvah in a Minamuvchar, you're not doing a hiddur mitzvah by giving to the Kohen, who's also Talmud Chacham. Give to the wife of a Talmud Chacham, she's a Kehenes, it's the same thing. Okay, another chiddush. Not only can you give to her, and it's better in certain cases, you can give to her husband. Her husband's Yisrael. What does that have to do with anything? So, the Orach HaShulchan Paskins, in Samach Aleph Sif Lamed Gimel, it counts as an asina to give to her husband. Naisin labaila, you can give to her or to her husband. Teda shechenhu, and I'll prove it to you. And he brings a raya that we know that if a kohen has an eved, you can give to the eved, and that counts as a giving, an asina. He receives bishvil rabbi. So too, the husband is receiving, kamoi kain isha, the husband is receiving on behalf of the wife, that counts as a nesina. You've mekayim your mitzvah in that way. And now, if we haven't yet reached the delight for this young couple, what they're benefiting from all this, there's even a bigger chiddush, in my opinion. The husband, now, he has a behema, and he's thinking, I have to give the zrovi lechayim to a kohen, but I'm married to a bas kohen. What should I do? So, Orach HaShulchan says, he doesn't have to give it all. He can keep it for himself, just like a kohen. V'kivan sheyotzi de nesinim matanas elu gam lekehenes. And since we've just said that you can give to a kehenes, lachein kehenes hanesur liYisrael, if she's married to Yisrael, yochol habayil lekabel matanas b'shvil ishtoi. Number one, he can, like we said, receive the matanas from others. V'kol shekein sheheim atzman paturim matanas. They don't have to give it all. So they've made a big savings, which is really a kind of a profit. This is all looking very good, but it just seems too good to be true. So let's just analyze, what exactly are we talking about? What are they getting that we didn't think they could get? We said we're not talking about everything. So what are we talking about? So first of all, how many Matnas Kahuna could we imagine she could get and pass on? So how many Matnas Kahuna are there? Everybody says 24, right? The Mishnah and Avos, it's when we talk about the Kinyanim, and there it says, Kahuna be'esrim v'arba. Kahuna is acquired with 24, which some of the Farshim understand is talking about the Matnas Kahuna there. And the Gemara and Kufam and Gimel in Kulin says this exact same point, but we'll see it's not so straightforward. Tanya Esrim Barba Matanas Kahuna Haim Vukulam Nitna La Aaron Levonov. 24 Matnas Kahuna for Aaron and his sons, and then it lists them. And this is maybe an easier way to remember. There are 10 in the Mikdash, Arba be Yerushalayim, Ve'ezer be Gvulim. 10 in the Mikdash, 4 in Yerushalayim, and 4 Gvulim. Then it lists them all. If you want to look it up, it's on Kuflam and Gimel there. But I just want to stop in the middle of the 4. I'll tell you why in a second, the 4 in Yerushalayim. Let's count together now. The Braisa lists the 4, and you'll see you're going to need more than 4 fingers for this. Number 1, Arba Yerushalayim, HaBechora, 1. HaBikurim, 2. HaMurim Shel Toida, 3. Uma Me'el Nazir, 4. Va'oris Kadshim, 5. That's supposed to be 4. Well, I mean, we don't need Rishonim to ask the question what's going on around here. So Gomorrah explains, it says, there are more than 24. There's more than 24. Two of them listed together. It says, Atu Murim Atayda Ve'el Nazir De Kachoshiv Luhu Kachada, where they were considered as one, and a list of 5, they were pressed together to count the two of them like one, so therefore we end up with 4. Meshum Dechada Ninu, is that because they are only one gift? No, says the Gomorrah. Elekivin De Damian Lahadadi Kachoshiv Luhu Kachada. It's because they have certain similarities, what you're giving, they're counted like one. But really, the Gemara is saying that's an extra one, and there's another one listed in the Gemara. So you're up to into 24 plus Matnas Kahuna. So, will she get them? Will her husband get them? And why not? So the Rambam, and we actually saw in the Orach HaShulchan before, but the Rambam says you can't give certain ones to her, which we've already alluded to. It said, even though she's married to Yisrael, she can't get all of them. These ones she can get, we said, because b'mnei she'ein behem kedusha. The ones that don't have kedusha, she can get. But the ones with kedusha, she cannot get. So truma's out, basar kodshim is out, and you're not left with such a long list. So what can she get? What has no kedusha? So there's re'el l'chayim, reishas hageiz, that's the first shearings from the flock, gezel hager. I'm not going to explain all of the cases because it'll take too long, but in the list there are more. And about the Gezel Hager, Reishas Hageiz, the Rambam writes this Lahalacha. Reishas Hageiz, Chulin, they call Davar. Reishas Hageiz is Chulin in all matters. The Fikach, Ani Oimer, Shinesenes, Oisele Kehanes. Therefore, you can give it to Kehanes. There you go, we've got another one. Afo Pishi, Nesuli Yisrael, even when she's married to Yisrael, Kematanis, Behema, the Yerlish Din Shnehem Echad Hu. They have the same din. So we see there's more than just the ones Mefurish in the Gemara there. There's Rei the Chayayim. There's also Gezel Hager. So I thought, what about Sedei Charomim? Now, the reason why I got interested in Sedei Charomim, that means somebody has said, I want to give a Cherim on a field, imagine 100 acres, to the Kahanim. And who could step up and kept this field? According to what we're saying, there's no Kedusha. Our Bas Kohen comes along, and instantly her husband becomes a big property man. Right? Great. Fantastic. What Bas Kohen wouldn't be delighted in such an opportunity? Is it true, though? Can she get the Sedei Charomim? Fields, large estates. She hands them over to her husband. They've got 100 acres. They have horses, whatever you like, imagine. She's landed herself a fortune. So it's not so straightforward. Why? Because who usually gets Sedei Charomim? The Mishmar. The Mishmar, and she, as good as she is not going to be in the Mishmar. Right? That's not Shaykh. However, so I thought, and somebody pointed out this to me, that I've picked the wrong case. Not so straightforward. I'll tell you why. I was learning the Siyata Dishmaya Tamura Daf Lamed Base, and I came across the Tosfos. So as I was preparing the shir, I was not thinking about this Indian at all. And there, Tosfos says, it's true, it should go to the Mishmar. That's the ideal. But if there's a Kohen already present in front of the giver, or he is already miyached it for a specific Kohen, they can receive it and they can keep it. It didn't go through the official channels. So if so, I'm not sure why a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael couldn't have the same advantage. So let's just say she could get these big fields if she has protexia. For the right protexia, it's possible for her to get the big payoff. We're just running out of time. I'm going to try to finish here. Pidgin aben is machlokes rishonim. So I just want to bring out a halacha from that. Pidgin aben, some of the rishonim say she can get, some say she can't. So if you find yourself in a place far away from a kohen, it may be worthwhile turning to a bas kohen saying, I'll do pidgin aben with you. I'm not saying you should say the brocha, because it's a machlokes rishonim. And then when you get to a town where there is a kohen, do it again. But with this one caveat, don't go back to her and say, I want a refund. Why? Because you could say, Amoitzim Chaver Alavaraya. You gave it to me, Al Etzad, that some Rishonim say I can get. So I'm going to keep it, Al Etzad. You have to pay twice. But Afal Pikein, for the mitzvah, it's worthwhile. Okay, we've run out of time. I just say, we should be Zoicha to giving all of the Matnas Kahuna and the Mammon Harbe and all the other benefits that come with it. Nabiyas Goyal Tzedek Dunar.